Hi, welcome to the Set Python Girls Club podcast. I'm your host, Luciana.
And I'm your co-host, Kim Madeline. Let's get going. All right, Luciana, so this is it. This is our first episode. How are you feeling?
I am so excited and quite frankly, nervous as well.
It'll be fine. It is happening indeed. This is fine. We'll be fine. So the theme of this episode is our origin story. So just you and me, right? So yeah, I guess tell me a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So my name is Luciana. Wow. I am originally from Brazil, but now I live in Vancouver here in Canada. And I work at Microsoft, and it's been actually 3.5 years now that I've been working here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, quite a lot, right? And I work as a PM, a product manager for Python in Visual Studio Code. And I am a huge fan of cats. I have two very cute cats here in my home, Oreo and Pringles. And I also am a huge fan of Harry Potter. And that's the main things about me. How about you? Tell me more about yourself, Kim Madeline.
Hey, so I'm Kim Madeline Miguel. I am a software engineer on the Python extension at VS Code. I work with you, Luciana, most of the time. How long have I been at Microsoft? It's going to be 3 years in June. So I guess you can do the math. So my GitHub handle is Kim Madeline. Luciana, yours is?
Mine is Lua, but kind of as if I'm buds with the Lua language.
Lua language, isn't it from Brazil as well?
It is. Very proud of that. Wow. It's a Brazilian programming language.
It was fated. It was destiny.
It was destiny.
And then outside of work, I spend a lot of time playing the critically acclaimed MMORPG Final Fantasy XIV, but we can talk about that another time. And also watching your TikToks, Luciana, because you've gone viral before, right?
That's true. I have a TikTok that went viral. Very proud of it. It features my friend's puppy. Always a secret. It's the secret to getting viral on the internet. Have really cute puppy videos to show. And
then this should be the Set Puppy Python Girls Club podcast. Wait, how do you have a puppy python? How do you have a puppy python?
I would just really prefer if it was the happy puppy, because puppies deserve to be happy.
That is true. All right. Now that we've quickly introduced ourselves, so what is the origin story behind this podcast? So how do you think we came up with this idea of making a podcast?
Yeah, I think it started as a joke in the team. We were like, oh, we should have a podcast. You know, we should talk about the work that we do. We have a lot of awesome users interacting with us on Twitter. And we were just like, oh, we just have so many fun stuff to show. Let's do it. And then we started talking more and more about it and laughing less and less. It started getting a little bit more serious until this random day we just decided to create a poll on Twitter asking users if they would be interested in some sort of content coming from the Python team for VS Code. And the answers were pretty positive. I think we had a lot of people saying they would love to have a podcast. And then we were like, you know what? Why not? It's going to be fun.
Why not? Indeed. Also, where did the Set Python Girls Club name come from? Because you and Savannah came up with it and then I joined later.
That's true. Savannah was one of the original members, creators of the Set Python Girls Club. Oh, we miss you, Savannah. Anyway, and I think the title, the name, came from, I think we were talking about how we were kind of like emos growing up, and we really have that in ourselves. You know, we really listen to a lot of emo songs, and we just, I don't know, sometimes we were commiserating together about various things about life, sometimes work. So we were just saying like, oh, we're just sad Python girls. And we started like saying that more and more. We started to found a group, and then we invited you, Kim Madeline, and now we are here with the podcast named after our lovely club of Python girls who happen to be sad.
It's okay. We're not that sad anymore though, right? Like there's going to be PyCon around the corner. So And then you're going to PyCon, right?
Yes, I'm going to PyCon US. What at the time of the recording, it's next week, but the time we release this is hopefully today in Salt Lake City, and I'm very much looking forward to it. Very happy about it, not sad.
Are you going to be giving a talk?
I'm not giving a talk, but I'll be at the VS Code booth chatting with folks and learning more about what you're all doing with Python in VS Code, hopefully.
Nice, nice. So what are you most looking forward to when going to PyCon US?
I'm really looking forward to chatting with folks. And that may sound very like fake, but it's actually like true. The times that I've been to PyCon and actually conferences in general, I had a blast talking to folks about many things. Obviously, Python is a key subject, but I always learn something new from the folks that I interact with. And there are many brilliant folks and with different experiences there. And I always have a blast like just chatting with people. And I'm looking forward to showing the demos that we're going to have as well. That's super fun. But by far, talking to folks is the best part of PyCon.
Exciting. I wanted to go to PyCon. I don't remember if it was, I guess it was like 2 years ago in 2020, and I submitted a talk there, but it went remote. And yeah, so this did not happen.
But your talk was accepted, right?
Yeah, my talk was accepted. It was a talk about Overwatch because back in the day I played Overwatch. I say back in the day, it was like 2 years ago. Oh my goodness. But in any case, my talk was accepted and I did like record a talk for people to watch. And that's really cool. But sadly, it was not in person. And this year I would have gone, but somebody forgot to renew her passport on time. And I am actually not able to leave the country because my passport expired. So this is on me.
I'm very sad you're not able to go, but I do recommend folks to watch your talk for PyCon 2020 because it was super fun. And it's even like it even shows how Python can be used for many, many cases and just like analyzing recordings of games and competitions. And you were actually identifying biases, right, on the recordings?
Yeah, a little bit, but it was pretty funny because it was just like a side project, right, just to try to use some like computer vision APIs. So it was really just me playing around with computer vision APIs and making some small like a small Python script and small like just like very basic image processing. So that was pretty cool. I was like trying to learn Python doing that. Because, you know, you kind of need a little bit of Python knowledge in order to be able to help our Python users. But it's pretty cool. Yeah, like, it's funny because the extension right now is mostly written in TypeScript and there's a little bit of Python. Most of the problems that are being reported, like on the repo and whatnot, are usually, well, Python related because the extension provides, like, help with Python. It wouldn't look so great if I were like, oh yeah, sure, yeah, I totally understand your issue, but actually be like, no, I don't understand anything. So it was a good exercise, I'm gonna say.
Yeah, and I think that comes to what we call here, and I don't know, it's just corporate lingo or Microsoft lingo. Having working only at Microsoft, I can say it's corporate, but maybe it's a Microsoft thing. There's the dog fooding, right? Which is basically like using your own product. So I guess there's a lot of that we all do on a day-to-day, just playing around with Python to make sure our tools are working properly and we are having actually a good experience and not just the users, like we are users as well, right?
What's your latest project? Like, what's your latest Python project? Is it one of the demos you were talking about?
Correct. So one of the demos that we are creating for PyCon is based on Wordle. So Wordle, that popular game, some people don't know, but it's just like, it's a fun guess the word game. There's a word there that you have to guess and you have like six tries and the word always has five letters and it gives you indication when you get the letters in the right place or not and all of that. It's pretty fun. So we created a Jupyter notebook with this logic in Python imitating the game. And then every time you want to guess a word, you just call this method guess word and then pass a string with five letters. And then it will give you the feedback whether you got the letters in the right position or not. And then you can keep creating cells to play the game and place your guesses. And it was
nice.
Yeah, it was super fun creating that, especially because I first created it and then I detected it was a bug. And then we work very closely with Brett Cannon. And Brett Cannon is actually Kim Adeline's manager, right?
Yes.
And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to call Brett and see if he can help me fix this bug. And then he looked into my code and he was like, oh, there's a lot of like cool things that you can do like to make this faster or more readable. And it was very funny because the code is pretty simple. It's we only use like standard library to create that because we wanted it to run on the browser with PyoDide. So I really wanted to have something very simple, and just watching Brett like type Python code that, you know, we just would write every day, I learned so many different tricks. For example, when he calls print, he always passes an argument at the end to specify like what should be appended at the end of the string that it's printing. And I just never did that. I just call print and pass a string. And I never...
Yeah, same.
Right? It never occurred to me to could pass arguments. Like, yeah, duh, it's a method. That's why it, like, it used to be a statement in Python 2 and now it's a method. So it was super interesting to see these sort of things. So it was nice for me to do some Python, but it was even nicer to see a true expert writing Python code.
Yeah. Yeah, I get Brett to review my Python-related PRs once in a while, and so I am incredibly grateful for him reviewing my PRs. Like, don't take me wrong. Like, it is really great to be able to have an expert point things out that are, like, Pythonic, because I didn't mention it before, but I have more of a, like, web front-end background. Like, I'm more proficient in TypeScript and JavaScript than Python. So it is amazing to have like a Python expert review my code, but I need to brace myself for all the comments because I'm like, oh my God, I had no idea. I don't know. Please, my eyes would be bleeding. So it is great, but I just need to, you know, steel myself and just be like, I need, you know, to try to be a sponge and try to learn like from all that Python knowledge, because there are so many things that you can't really see like in tutorials or just like trying things out in your own. Like,
yeah.
I feel that sometimes knowing what looks Pythonic and what doesn't, right, can be a little bit tricky to find out sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. I think like there's a lot of documentation out there, but it's hard for us to know like how deep the documentation goes and what is actually like recommended from the Python creators themselves and what is just working. Because this is one of the nice things about Python. It just works. I remember my projects back at college. I would write like, now looking back to it, it's terrifying. And I'm like, I don't probably should have not wrote these lines, but they worked. And they produced legit results, right? And so I think that's hard. Like every time you're trying to go to the internet, you know, we give the tips that we have and things that work for us, but it's not always what the Python creators or writers and CPython contributors would do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're very privileged to have Brett to work with us because, I mean, it can be very intimidating to show Python code to Brett Cannon. But he is a wonderful human being and he does not judge us for that, which I completely appreciate because it's scary.
I mean, there are a couple of Python names at Microsoft, right? Like there's Brett, then there's, who else? Eric Snow, Steve Dower, Guido, of course.
Guido, of course, I think he's the most famous name of all.
Have you worked with Guido yet?
I have not worked with him closely. I've been in a few meetings with him. There was one specific meeting I had with him that was right when he joined. We had a call between Guido, Brett, and myself to talk about feedback that he had for Python in VS Code. And I was so nervous. It was just very like, oh my God, I'm actually going to talk to Guido. I never thought that would happen in my life. But it was really awesome.
What was worse, talking to Guido or recording this podcast?
That's such a trick question. I kind of feel I was feeling nervous like the same way today as I was with Guido. That's how bad this is for me. I'll be fine.
I mean, you'll be fine. You survived that meeting, right? So it was fine.
That's true. And actually, I loved it. So more than survived it, it was great.
Did he have any good feedback?
He had some really interesting feedback that he was talking about how the experience could be a little bit weird for beginners. and confusing at times. And I remember one specific feedback that he gave was around the snippets, because we used to show code snippets alongside auto-completions. And it was not very obvious to the user what was auto-completion, what was snippets. And for beginners, sometimes like the snippets that we would suggest, they were not just helpful for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was interesting because that same week we had conducted user studies, which is basically we have participants come up and we watch them use the tool and write Python code. And then we ask them to think out loud to see what is their experience with the product. And that same week we had some Python beginners and they were just giving feedback about how confusing the snippets were and they didn't know very well the representation, what it means and all of that. So we decided to remove the snippets given the feedback that we got from the beginners and also Guido. He actually, like, the hypothesis was kind of validated in the studies. Mm-hmm. So we ended up removing that. Of course, there were a lot of unhappy users because they really liked the snippets. So we tried our best to communicate how they could bring snippets back. There are a lot of cool extensions in VS Code for snippets. I definitely recommend a lot of Django ones. They have some really, really helpful extensions out there in VS Code. And there are ways so you can customize your own snippets. So we kind of directed folks to do that if they wanted. But yeah, sometimes like decisions we make won't make everyone happy. So we're sorry about that.
Yeah, it's a balance really, right? Like, because like for every user that likes one of our features, there's going to be somebody who doesn't like it. And I feel that it's just because the Python extension is used by so many people from so many different places and at different points in their like Python journey. It's really, it can be like, it's a balance to try to provide like, first of all, like help the beginners, but also not be too intrusive to the expert users, right?
For sure.
And yeah, VS Code is really customizable. So yeah, I guess it's about finding a good point where people can tweak things. Yeah. So that they have the best experience inside VS Code.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a balance, like you said, and it's always about discoverability versus annoyance.
Absolutely. Yeah, discoverability is a big thing.
It's a big thing. Yeah, it's a constant battle we're fighting, and we're always trying to find ways to improve it. So It's an ongoing project.
Yeah. Well, that's it for our origin story, I guess. Remember to bring stickers to PyCon and tell people to go see you to get some stickers, I guess.
For sure, that's true. If you are listening to this and PyCon's still coming up, go to the Microsoft booth. I have some really cool Set Python Girls Club stickers to give out. And yeah, we also have a Twitter account.
Yeah, I forgot the handle. I know that's not a very good thing to say on my own podcast, but...
It's Sad Python Girls.
Sad Python Girls, yes. Mention us and come say hi. Well, at least come say hi to Luciana. If you want to come say hi to me in the GitHub issue, I'll take it.
That's true. That's true. Come chat with us. And yeah, we are looking forward to our next episode soon as well. That's it for today's episode for the Sad Python Girls Club podcast. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope to see you again soon.